Good evening and welcome along to another episode of The Score here on Highland. It is Mark Gallagher here to look ahead to the big events of the weekend on the sporting front. Coming up on tonight's programme, we're going to look ahead to the Danny Gormley Memorial Hill Climb with one of the organisers, Brian Gibbons. Ryan Ferry, the sports editor of the Donegal News, will join us for a chat about this weekend's crucial round four fixtures in the Donegal Club Championships. But firstly, we are going to focus on League of Ireland soccer, and following their 1-0 win over Treaty United last week, Finn Harps now find themselves just 1 point off the promotion playoff spots as they get ready to travel to Longford tomorrow night. Well, joining me now on the programme to talk all things Finn Harps is former player Joe Boyle. Joe, you're very welcome back to the Score programme and thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Not too bad. Joe, we'll get onto the football in a moment, but it's been a week since we lost the great man Ollie Horgan. I'm sure you've seen the tributes and respect that's flooded his way in the past week, and it's been lovely to see. Hopefully it's providing some comfort to the family, knowing how loved he was all around the country. You had a personal relationship with Ollie over the years, Joe. What are your memories of him?
Yeah, and look, I was very fortunate to be able to attend Ollie's funeral on Monday, and you know, I think it was a celebration of all things that was good about Ollie. It was such a positive day. You know, normally when we go to things like that, it's sadness, but you know, Ollie's families and friends turned out in force. There was a great turnout from all the connections that he had in Donegal, like from St Union School to Fanad United to, you know, I've seen a fairly formidable former players that played for Ollie there. They were representing at Finn Harps and at the Irish schools, and you know, it was a who's who that was there from the League of Ireland and the FAI. You know, all facets of Ollie's life were celebrated, and depending on where you knew Ollie, he had so many different traits that came out, but I think the one that came out so much was just such a genuine guy and such a good man he was, that he was a top fella, you know. And the man that we would see so often on the sidelines getting the yellow cards from referees was only one facet of what Ollie was. He was such a well-respected man, and when you think about it, that the president of our country turns up at your funeral, I think that's a mark of the respect that Ollie was held with throughout the country. I know they're both Galway, were associated with Galway United, but you know, that's the level where Ollie was respected, and I think the amount of people that made such a special effort to turn up over the weekend at his wake and on Monday at his funeral, I think was a testament to what Ollie was. We'll miss him. You know, we heard some brilliant stories about him over the last couple of days, and we will in the weeks and months ahead as well to celebrate Ollie's life. And it's just so sad that Ollie has passed, and you know, he will be missed. And there's a lot of people out there, and I think Anita and the kids at Ollie's kids, well, they're not kids, they've grown up now, but you know, they were brilliant at the funeral, and I think they represented all things that was good about Ollie. And you know, I just wish them all the support and happiness that they took from the last couple of days and Ollie's passing and the tributes, because he was one in a million. And you know, when they made Ollie, they definitely did break the mold, but you know, to his family, I do wish them all the support and you know, all the love of Ollie in the future as well.
Yeah, well said, Joe. That's lovely words. And after a touching tribute to Ollie before their game last Friday, Harps, they went on to defeat Treaty 1-0 in what was a massive game. It was understandably an emotional night at Finn Park, but the players dealt with it well and came away with a vital win.
Yeah, and look, it was probably wasn't been one of the most fashionable games that they had all season at Finn Harps, but you know, that spirit that Ollie had instilled in Finn Harps in his 9 years there, or at Fannett or at Galway, certainly came out on Friday night. And I think it was a touching tribute that Harps won 1-0 and held on to get the victory, because you know, that was something that he would have done. And when you're talking to people, you don't realise Ollie got three promotions out of the first division, and you know, hopefully this current Harps team and Kevin and the squad can match that and maybe use this as a motivation to push on now, because you know, after Friday night's result, they're a point behind Treaty. Treaty play this weekend, where they play UCD, and you know, Harps have their game as well on the weekend, and we'll be hoping that they can push on and get that 3 points as well, and that you know, that that can be the springboard for him now to use in the next couple of weeks. And going to Longford, getting a couple of points in Longford, and hopefully William O'Connor and his UCD team can do us a favour by going to Treaty and taking 3 points off them. And that would be a brilliant way to cap off a testing week for everybody at the club.
It sure would. And as you say, it is another big chance to put more pressure on Treaty this week, away to Longford Town, Bishopsgate tomorrow night. Longford are, they're second from bottom, and maybe we're getting to the stage of the season where teams at the lower end of the table, they don't have as much to play for, they're out of the cup. This is a very winnable game, considering Harp season is very much alive and kicking.
Absolutely, but Longford's a dangerous place to go there. They will test you, and at this stage you would take a 1-0 again this week and going down there. And after all the exertions of the week at the club, I would certainly take a 1-0. And from now to the end of the season, if you were to offer us 1-0s every single week, you would take them. But it is a big game for Harps, and I would just be wary of Longford. But again, I think the team is in a really, really good place when you look at Harps at the minute. Three wins on the bounce and a draw before that, that builds confidence. And without taking your eye off the game, because there's a couple of big games coming up, with the cup game coming up as well for Harps. That's another big opportunity for Kevin and the lads there. So you have Longford, look after that this week, and then you're going into the cup quarter final in against Cork the following week then. And this could be a real springboard for Harps to push on between now and the end of the season.
There was some negativity around Fenn Harps before the season started, and then Darren Murphy left, and the results weren't great, to say the least. Kevin McHugh's come in, a few new signings have come in, injured players are back, some key injured players have come back in. Things have really turned around. How much credit does Kevin McHugh deserve for not only steadying the ship, but also turning it in a really positive direction heading into the latter stage of the season?
Yeah, and when you look at Oisin Cooney has moved on to Burnley this week, and you have the three young lads who Corey, Gavin, and Josh are off with Colin O'Brien getting ready. Hopefully, for the three of them will make the squad for the Under-17 World Cup as well. And you see the Harps now are just a point off that playoff positions. That's where Harps want to be. At the start of the season, I could never see them ever being in a position to knock Dundalk off that top of the table. So to get into the playoffs is where you want to be. And Kevin has done a good job. A couple of players have come and a couple of players have gone. But he has a nucleus of a team there now at the minute that is very, very solid in the last couple of weeks. One or two players coming in and out because of injury or different things like that. But in the last maybe 5, 6 weeks, the squad has been really, really settled, apart from those one or two injuries coming in and out. So it's very, very important that they continue to build on that. And getting back to Kevin, I think him and Tommy deserves great, great credit in relation to what they've done. They've built the squad, they have made the changes, and if people weren't fitting in, they have moved them on and they brought other people in. So I think they deserve great, great credit, and the club deserves great credit to push on. Now, we do want to be in the playoffs, and we'll see then what happens, because your season then could take off in the space of maybe three or four big, big matches then that they could possibly be in a position to be in playoff finals, or even get into that playoff then with the Premier Division team.
That FAI Cup quarterfinal against Cork City is next Friday at Finn Park. There'll be a big crowd at that game anyway, probably the biggest of the year. It would be fantastic to go into that game off the back of a win in Longford tomorrow night and really go after Cork.
Yeah, and I deliberately watched the Cork Waterford game last week just to get a real sense of where Cork are at. At times, Cork were really, really good. I thought they showed real potential, but at times then they were a little bit vulnerable. And that position that they're in the league doesn't lie either, where they're sitting in that league position. And that's a reason they're there, because they have been vulnerable. I know that they've only won a small number of matches. Like, they've only won 4 matches this season and they've got 10 draws. So for me, that's important that Harps keep that to the front of their thinking at the minute, because there's nothing like winning matches. I know Harps in the First Division, but Cork are in the Premier Division, they're playing different opposition, but winning is a habit. And you see over the last couple of weeks where Harps have held on when they have that winning feeling. So it's hard to beat that, and get a result this week. Anything's possible in the quarter final then of the cup.
Definitely some big games coming down the pipe. Obviously, the race for the playoffs, home cup quarter final next week against Cork. Joe, you've been in plenty of Finn Harps changing rooms. What will the mood be like in the changing room now with less than 10 games to go? A real opportunity to make that season something to remember.
Yeah, I think it's very evident that you when you're there watching the boys warming up and you see them after the game, you know, there is a real positive vibe around Finn Park there when you're getting to watch the matches. And you know, what we do need is that hopefully a few people will be fit to travel for the Longford game, but for the cup game in particular, it'd be great to get a big raucous crowd there to make things uncomfortable for Cork. And you know, for me, I think it's very, very important that the people in Donegal come out and support them for that cup match. You know, the romance of the cup is something that's very, very special. It'd be great to see Harps get to a semi-final.
Kickoff tomorrow night at Bishop's Gate is at 7:45, and we'll have live updates here on Highland with Kevin Egan. Elsewhere in the First Division, league leaders Dundalk are away to Wexford. Bray Wanderers host Athlone Town. Kerry play Cove and Treaty, who are the team, of course, that Finn Harps are chasing down for that last playoff spot. They are at home to UCD. There are no games in the Premier Division tomorrow, but there is that rescheduled fixture between Shelburne and Galway taking place on Sunday. Now, Joe, we kind of touched on it a wee bit earlier, but I want to go back to young Oisin Cooney's move to English Premier League club Burnley. A great achievement for the youngster, but also great credit must go to the academy at Finn Harps and his local club Clonmany Shamrocks.
Absolutely, you know, Oisin came in at a very, very difficult time at the start of the season. You know, he showed what he was about. He's come to be a regular now with Tom Owen at the under 19s as well. So, you know, he maybe had a difficult last couple of weeks, but I think it's testament that Burnley have seen something in him. And you know, Tom has kept him in and around the under 19 squads as well. So, you know, this is a young man with lots and lots of potential. And if he goes there with the right attitude, gets his head down, works really, really hard. You know, Burnley is a club that the Irish players have done quite well at over the last couple of years. And you know, Josh Cullen is the captain of the club there, and it's a club that is not afraid to throw young players in. So it's a great, great opportunity for him. And you know, I think everybody at Clonmany and Finn Harps deserve great credit for getting him this far. But I think him and his family deserve great credit as well for the amount of hours and time that they've put in travelling up and down the road for training, and you know, working away from the training ground and matches to get himself to this stage. So look, I do wish him all the best. And you know, I do think he could be what the next one to carry on a tradition of some very, very good goalkeepers coming out of Donegal.
And Sean Patton, also not long since he was on the books at Finn Harps. He signed for Reading from Derry City recently. That's another good move for a young Donegal man.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. And look, I was one of the ones I was looking at this season when Derry were buying all those players that I was hoping he might come back to Finn Park, because I feel if he was there, he would have scored a lot of goals. A young man that's had lots of potential over the last couple of years. And again, he's been in and around those international squads. Again, Reading's another club that has strong traditions with Irish players coming through the ranks there. When you think of the Hunts coming through there, and you know, Paul McShane has been there, John O'Shea has been in and around the place. So it's certainly somewhere that Irish players have done well, and I do wish Sean all the best. And you know, he has got something about him where he has developed his game over the last while, where his hold up play has been very, very good, but it's also his eye for goal and his ability to get in there and sneak an odd goal has been very, very much to the fore. And you know, I do wish him all the best. And you know, again, another young lad who has certainly worked really, really hard and made the most of his potential.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of young players coming through and making strides. The academy at Harps seems to be just producing some really, really good young talent recently. Corey Sheridan, Gavin McAteer and Josh Cullen all on international duty with the Irish under-17s this week. It's so good to see young players coming through the books at Finn Harps and mixing it at international level.
Yeah, and again, look at when you go back through it, because Kevin has maybe had some limitations and the club has been challenged in some ways, those opportunities have been afforded to those young lads. And from my own point of view, I think that's one of the ways that clubs in the League of Ireland need to go, because you look around the league, there's a lot of good young kids who've been picked up over the last couple of years. And you know, go back as far as our former international captain Shamie Coleman was a prime example. If you come through the league, you're getting a really, really good grounding and a good schooling in relation to what adult football and senior football is like. So if you can survive in the League of Ireland, then you know, that does go a long way. And I think that's what clubs now are seeing in England, that players that come through in the league can go on and, you know, make a really, really bright future for themselves across the water.
Finally, Joe, the Republic of Ireland get their World Cup qualifying campaign up and running on Saturday against Hungary. How do you rate Heimir Hallgrimsson's team's chance of getting off to a winning start this weekend?
Look, I was just listening to the radio this morning, and you know, the last couple of campaigns, after the first two or three matches we've been out of it. So it's really important against Hungary at the weekend that we get something out of that game. You know, Hungary are no mugs. They're a decent side. You look at through their list of players there, there's quite a lot of them playing in the Champions League or playing in the top leagues throughout Europe. So it's going to be a difficult one, but I think this group have come through. They've had one or two or three campaigns now where these lads have all amassed 20, 30, 40 caps, depending when you look at different members of the squad. So it's time for them now to go and get a couple of big results. We need a big result. And going to Armenia then during the week will be challenging. Armenia is a difficult place to go. Maybe people don't give Armenia the respect they give, but when you play at home and then have to travel away to Armenia. So over these two matches, it's important that we get something and make sure that we're still in this group and stay part of this group. Because when you look at October, then we're away to Portugal and at home to Armenia. You know, we need to make sure that we're in a good place, because going away to Portugal will not be easy. So, you know, you don't want to be in a negative position after three matches and the campaign over again. So it's very, very important that we get something against Hungary on Saturday, and then when we go to Armenia, to make sure that we come away from there with points as well. And you know, it's a big ask for Hamer and the squad, but I think it's time that they, you know, they really do step up and do that. And when you look at where the next World Cup campaign is, it's in Canada, Mexico, and the USA. You know, I was very fortunate to be about to remember the last time we were in the United States for a World Cup, and wouldn't it be great to be booking our holidays and our flights to USA for the next campaign?
It sure would. Joe Boyle, thank you very much for talking to us, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Good evening.
Former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle. Plenty of local action here in the county as well this weekend for the Donegal Junior League clubs. There's a full round of Voodoo Cup games on Saturday, and the Brian McCormick Cup continues on Sunday. Castlefin Celtic play Kildrum Tigers. Deal Harps host Dromahull. Capri Rovers travel to play Donegal Town. The winners of tonight's game between Fannin United and White Strand will face Bonagie United. Kilmacrenan Celtic go to Glasher Coo to face Glenae United. Caju make the trip to Gidor Celtic. Holders Letterkenny Rovers welcome Swilly Rovers to Lakeview, and St Catharines play Ballybofey United. In a show on the Clubman's Shirts, League Cup continues. Redcastle play Cairn Utes. Clonmany Shamrocks go to last year's winners Buncrana Hearts, and Alia welcome Kildaff. There are also games in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup and the Inishowen Division 2 on Sunday. Well, it's time for a short break here on the programme. When we come back, we'll be looking ahead to the weekend's Donegal Club Football Championship fixtures. Join us for more after these. You're very welcome back to The Score. Now, it is another big weekend in the Michael Murphy Sports Senior, Intermediate and Junior Football Championships. Things are heating up. It is round four, which is the last round of group games before we get to knockout football. And joining me now for a chat about what to look out for this weekend is the sports editor of the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry. Ryan, welcome back to The Score programme.
Yes, Mark, how are you getting on?
Not too bad. Ryan, we're gearing up for another big weekend in the championship here in Donegal. Round four, suppose things sort of heated up in round three, but this weekend is really where the jeopardy kicks in.
Yeah, I think there is a bit more jeopardy, particularly at the bottom end of the table, Mark, you know, where teams are trying to avoid that bottom four in the relegation playoffs. You know, nobody wants to be in those games. And, you know, I think, you know, teams, if they can get into the preliminary quarterfinals, it probably looks like it's an even enough championship. You know, even if you finish maybe 11th, 12th, you might still think you've got a chance heading into that preliminary quarterfinal game. So, yeah, I think it's all about avoiding the relegation playoffs. I don't know if the big hitters are too worried about going straight into the quarterfinals or not. But I think as long as you can through to the knockout stages, and then it'll really kick on from next week on, I would say.
Yeah, have you enjoyed the championship so far? I mean, in terms of the format, the kind of games we're seeing, entertainment value, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I've found the games fairly entertaining, all right. I think the new rules are helping. There's still a bit of a lateral play. We're not probably seeing some of the high scores we're seeing in other counties. And maybe that's to be expected. Like, there's a lot of possession-based football in Donegal, and the stock will just change overnight. I'm not a huge fan of the structure. I think it's run its course at this stage. I think it's, you know, there's too many games for me, you know, that don't mean an awful lot to narrow it down to 12 teams. I'd love to see just more edge to the games, you know, whether that's going back to the old home and away, you know, when it says unlikely would go to straight knockout. I still think well, the format we had before with the groups of four, worked well. We're seeing that, and I think Mayo have that structure, and they're heading into their last weekend now, the round three games, and there's huge jeopardy with big teams looking like they might go out. So, yeah, I just feel that this championship, it doesn't really get going properly until the knockout stages, and maybe we'll get that from next weekend onwards. But yeah, like I would, from next year on, I would love to see a bit of a change. Just don't know if it'll happen or not.
Yeah, well, we'll stick to this year, and I suppose it is the way it is now. So we'll have a look at some of the big games of the weekend in the senior and intermediate championships. One of the ties of the round in the senior championship is Division One champions Termon playing defending Dr. Maguire champions St Unions. The Burn Road Saturday evening, sure to be a big occasion. What kind of approach will these two teams be taking heading into that contest?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, 'cause if you look at the table, 16 teams, Termon are just outside the bottom four at the minute. And they're probably in real danger of dropping into that bottom four if they lose the game, and like you'd have to imagine that would be hugely disappointing for Termon. There's a lot of momentum behind them after winning the intermediate championship. They won the Division One league title earlier on the year, and I think if they could get through the preliminary quarter final, I don't know if anybody would really want to play them. So. And listen, I don't think even if they end up in the relegation playoffs that they would go down, but it's not where I don't think it's where Termon, want to be. I feel they think that they've got a higher ceiling and can kick on. Now, the last time I was on with Brendan Devaney, we had a bit of a debate about whether St Unions was a good game for Termon or not. And St Unions, I think St Unions are going to be looking around that championship and thinking there's no reason why we can't go back to back here. They probably haven't hit their best form yet. I know Shane O'Donnell only came on against St Nos for the last couple of minutes. I'd expect to see him back in if he's injury free this week. And St Unions trying to put it up a notch or two now and get their best team out in the pitch and get that continuity going. And you have to expect it's a bit of a local derby. The Burn Road will be a bit of crack on Saturday evening, I would say. There's always a good crowd, home crowd from Termon, and St Unions will be coming into their area, and they'll not want them to take the points too easily. But you'd have to expect St Unions probably will take it. But could this be a result, a performance for Termon to really kickstart them as a senior championship team once again?
Another game on Saturday evening that jumps off the page is St Noel's meeting with Downings. There's a lot at stake in the lower end of the table, as you said earlier, and St Noel's are yet to get a point in the league phase. They're under a wee bit of pressure to get a result.
Yeah, they are, and even if they do get the result, it mightn't quite be enough to get them out of the bottom four. They've had tough games, St Noel's. They've played Gweedore, they've played Four Masters, they've played St Unions, now they've Downings, like Downings are going well, but it's still a game I think St Noel's have to be looking at and thinking at home turf, first as a senior championship team, you've got to try and win your home games, and they've got to try and take the scalp there against Downings. I know they haven't had Stephen Griffin in the last couple of games, and he's a massive loss, the former county panellist who scores very heavily for St Noel's. I've seen a bit of Downings, I've seen them in Kilcar, and I've seen them against Neve Connell last week. They're doing really well, particularly when you consider, it's only 2 years ago that Downings won the Intermediate Championship, and but half that team is gone or not playing there at the minute. So, and they haven't had huge success at minor level as well. So they've done well. A couple of good additions, like the big fella for me, Kay McBride, is a real, real, really impressive midfielder, and he's looking the part, So it could be an interesting game, though. Like the likes of Patrick Morgan, with his athleticism and his drive and dynamism, I can see him causing Downing's problems, but you still expect Downing's, they should have a wee bit too much, but you wouldn't be surprised if it was a home win either.
Yeah, and the other games in the senior championship on Saturday evening, the clash of Glenfinnan and Ardra and Iriúa Ballyshannon and Killy Beggs. Let's move on to Sunday, Kilcare against Glenswilly. Both of these teams will still have ambitions of making it straight through to a quarter final. That's sure to be a fiery one.
Yeah, it is, and it's 9 years now since they met in the county final, and Ben Swilly famously upset the odds against Kilcare. You know, I think it was a couple of years ago they played downtown, maybe 5 years ago. I think, you know, Kilcare wiped the floor with Glen Swilly, but Glen Swilly are a much different animal now. They've had a lot of underage success. I suppose the big one for this, Mark, is, you know, are the marquee forwards on either side going to be playing? The chat is that they won't be. Patrick McBrady for Kilcare and Michael Murphy for Glen Swilly, you know, so there'll be obviously big losses for the respective teams if they're not fit to talk out. And, you know, Glen Swilly are coming with a young side there. They'll be disappointed to lose to Dunloe the last day out. And, you know, they'll take a wee bit of heart from Downing's getting a result in Kilcare a couple of weeks ago. But Kilcare, you know, I watched their game against Killy Beggs on the stream. They played well. Ray McHugh was back to the team, had a very good second half that day. Matthew McLean, Andrew McLean, Steve McBurty was back in the team. So, yeah, could be a really tight one in Townie, and could be a hard one to call. Maybe you just give a fancy to Kilcare, maybe, but, you know, it could be tight.
Another one on Sunday, two teams that have been going really well are Sean McCool's and Gidor. They'll both be looking to secure a passage straight through to the quarters. I suppose at this stage, both of those teams will probably feel like they deserve to be in the quarterfinals after the starts they've had at the championship.
Yeah, and this is one of those games just seems to pop up every year. And, you know, McCool's haven't got a good record against Gidor. And, you know, I think for their progress, if they could claim a scalp this week, you know, would be a real sign of progress for McCool's. You know, they've been very good. You know, they're disappointed probably to lose or to draw with Glen Swilly after being well ahead in that game. You know, but very impressive against St Michael's, very impressive against Ardra. You know, they've obviously got Oisin Gallons, their marquee name, and the likes of Conor McGinty and Kevin McCormick, Sean Martin, Finn McGinty. These boys are all playing very well, young players. Gwydor, you know, it's you know, there's not a lot of people chatting about Gwydor, and I think Gwydor will look at this championship and think, yeah, there's no reason why we can't have a good rattle of it. You know, you've got Ethan Harkin playing very well, wing back. You have Oran McNeilis back in the team, Owen De Burke, Eamon Colum in the forward line, Darrell Boyle. You know, so they take a lot of boxes, Gwydor. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that game goes in Convoy. You know, you'd expect Gwydor will be a more physical side, and will they be able to shut down McCool's athleticism?
Momentum as well will be a big thing. 3 wins from three from Gwydor, like that surely will stand for something.
Yeah, and like they've been in the preliminary quarterfinals the last couple of years, and have come through it. But, you know, I'm sure they would love to just get straight into the quarterfinals. You know, because you never know who might be coming your way in the preliminary quarterfinals. You could get a really, really tough game. You know, and a ground you could be depending where it is, it could be a game of two halves, and anything could happen. You know, so I think just getting straight into the quarterfinals definitely seems to appeal to Gwydor, so they'd be pushing hard for it.
Elsewhere on Sunday, it's Neve Connell up against St Michael's and Dunloe host four Masters. Some great ties on both days in the Senior Championship. Now let's move on to the Intermediate Championship. Top of the table, Neve Columba in action against third place Neve Warrior Lower Rosses on Sunday. Neve Columba have been flawless so far, but this will be a big test on Sunday for them, Ryan.
Yeah, it is going to be a big test. I suppose the big thing with Intermediate, Mark, is getting through, first of all, the eight teams getting through, and then first we'll play eight in the quarterfinals, second against seventh, third against sixth, and fourth against fifth. So there'll be a bit of jostling for positions. Quite hard to predict maybe at this stage how it'll play out. As you say, Neve Columba have 6 points from six, or 6 points from six. They've won their three games. They've won the three games quite easily, not really been tested yet. I think they'll hope that they'll get a good test against Neve Warrior and the Banks. Even if they lose the game, Neve Warrior probably likely to finish in the top two anyway, such as their superior points difference. So it'll be interesting to see how Neve Warrior approach it. You know, will they be looking at, you know, laying down a marker themselves? They were very disappointed to lose the Red Shoes at the Banks, you know, or will they be thinking, you know, that there's going to be big knockout games coming down the line, and that's the day to really lift it? So, you know, it'll be interesting. I think it'll be tight, and you know, people are talking up this Neve Columba side. You know, they've got, I think, four freshmen in this year that they didn't have last year, which is a huge, huge addition to them. They're looking good. They've been knocking on the door for 5 or 6 years now, you know, and I think they'll think this is the time to do it. So I think they'll be going down to prove a point to Neve Murrah, and, you know, could be a tasty one at the Banks.
At the lower end of the table, you have Fannett taking on Buncrana. neither of these teams will really fancy having to go through the relegation playoffs, so there's going to be a bit of grit in that one.
Yeah, and you know, they're two teams that have played each other quite a bit. You know, and Bokrana have very much had the upper hand until Fanad rattled them in the quarterfinals 2 years ago. And, you know, at that stage, Bokrana had gone through, won their four games, were the top seed, Fanad were the eighth seed, and then they played in Convoy, and Fanad had a big, big victory over Bokrana. So I'm sure Gary Duffy and his team will remember that one. Bokrana is a funny one. You know, they've been talked up as potential winners. It hasn't really gone their way. They've lost to Muff and they lost to Malin. They had a good one over Burt. They're under a bit of pressure. They have to go to Port Salon this weekend. You know, and you know, Fanad have nothing to lose, really. You know, they can have a crack at them. They're probably underdogs for the match. They don't want to be in the playoffs. And as I mentioned, they've beaten them not that long ago, so they think they can do it. You know, it's interesting that Kevin Jordan has left Finn Harps and has played for Bokrana. I know he's signed for Strabane Athletic as well, but you'd imagine he's freed up to play for Bokrana on Sunday. I would have seen Kevin play under 21 football a couple of years ago, Mark, and he's a very, very good Gaelic footballer. So, you know, he's going to add something new to the Bokrana team going forward, you know. So they'll be keen to avoid defeat again and Fanad and make sure they get through to the quarterfinals.
Finally, Ryan, Niamh Padraig, Ishkahin, they've made a good start in their first year at intermediate level. Have you been surprised with how well they've done at the step up on levels? They're unbeaten and they take on Burt on Sunday. They really have a great chance of making it deep into this competition.
Yeah, I'm not really that surprised at all. I suppose you were looking at them and you were saying that they had a long season. Sometimes there can be a bit of a hangover the following year. But, you know, it hasn't happened. I think the fact, you know, that they've been boosted by, you know, a couple of young players coming in, like Killian Doyle and Jamie McCauley, a new goalkeeper in there as well. So there's a bit of freshness there, you know, maybe keeping players on their toes. They have lost boys to injury, Rory Hurrell and Kevin Doherty, which, you know, was a big blow for them. But Kevin Lynch seems to be getting gradually back to fitness. He came on the last day against Bokrana. Yeah, like they have a lot of momentum. They've won a lot of championship games over the last couple of years, or last year, should I say. You know, okay, it was junior football, but, you know, went to Ulster All-Ireland Series. You know, they were good, good victories for them. So, yeah, I think they're feeling good about themselves. I don't think they fear anybody in this championship. But like that, you know, they have Burt, and Burt are looking to get through to the knockout stage. I think it's 5 years in a row that they've been in the relegation playoffs. So, you know, you can imagine what the team talk is going to be like in their dressing room with Marley Coyle this Sunday. Like, they don't want to be there again. And, you know, will they be thinking that, you know, they've played Niamh Padraig many times and there hasn't been much in them? You know, will they be looking to take them down a step or two? You know, the possibly will be. So, you know, Niamh Padraig have home advantage, they have momentum, but I think this is a potentially tricky game for them.
Yeah, and elsewhere in the Intermediate Championship on Sunday, it'll be Bundoran up against Malin. Now, Rossa host Red Hughes and Milford are at home to Clonhilly. Ryan Ferry, sports editor at the Donegal News, thank you very much for your time and enjoy the football of the weekend. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon, all right?
Thank you, Mark.
That is Ryan Ferry, the sports editor at the Donegal News, looking ahead to this weekend's big games in the Donegal Football Championships. And Highland's dedicated GAA programme is also now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal on the DL Debate, which you can tune into over on the playback section of highlandradio.com. The Donegal LGFA Championships continue this weekend with games in the Senior, Junior and Junior B competitions on Sunday morning. In the Senior Championship, holders Terriman are away to Mobile and Irua go to Dunloe. In Hurling, there are four games in the Derry Senior Championship on Sunday. Kevin Lynch is playing Namaha, Slaughneil face Lavi, Swatra go up against Owen Rua and Banagher play Ballinascreen. Next up on tonight's programme, we're going to turn the focus to motorsport, and this Saturday we'll see the annual Danny Gormley Hill Climb take place on Knockalla. To get the latest on how the event is shaping up, Highland's Oisin Kelly caught up with one of the organisers, Brian Gibbons.
So it's Hill Climb time once again, the Danny Gormley Memorial Knockalla Hill Climb taking place this weekend. Assistant COC is Brian Gibbons, who joins me in studio to look ahead. I suppose, Brian, at this stage, a couple of days out, is the bulk of the work's all done. It's just about, I suppose, crossing the T's and dotting the I's and making sure everything's ready to rock and roll.
had a bulk of the works done. Actually, John and myself and a lot of the team, we've had a lot of work done there the last few weeks, and we'll be hoping for good weather and a good crowd down there now over the weekend. There's a good entry there. We're looking at up on 60 entries, and from all ages and all different times of cars. It's just encouraging, so much support from our own members on the weekend.
You mentioned John. Obviously, John Crummish is the COC for the event. So, listen, you have been hard at work, and I suppose, listen, once the Donegal International's done, focus changes to upcoming events, does it? And you were very much in the thick of it after that.
Well, you have the Hull Climb now, and you have the navigation coming up in a few weeks, and then just a few weeks after that, then you'll have Johnny's Forest Rally in Donegal Town, which is rescheduled due to the storm. So, it'll be a busy few weeks, but there's a lot of good help there within the club at the minute, and it's encouraging whenever you're a part of it.
And that's not, I suppose the other thing too is this is all part of the local Donegal Commercial Vehicles Club Championship as well here, Donegal Motor Club Championship.
Yeah, we have a club championship there, so Donegal Commercial Vehicles Championship, sponsored by the McDade family, and we've kind of revived it the last few years. We have our awards night last year, and that was a great success, and we're trying to add as many rounds as possible to it, and it's encouraging for the younger people as well. Like, we have a good entry of young people there at the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's focus in on the weekend then. What is the format for the Hull Climb? I know we talk about this every year. It's very similar to what you're looking, I suppose, for a handful of runs, five or six runs each day.
Yeah, we'll have a practice run each morning about 10:30, and the first of the time runs will be about 11:30. Weather depending on that, we'll be hoping to get between five and six runs each day, finishing off around 5:30 each evening. Yeah. So we're hoping now for good weather. And
what's the weather given for?
It's given mixed at the minute, but Knockalla's funny because it could be raining everywhere else, and it could be dry in Knockalla because you're close to the sea down there. So hopefully we'll get the weather, and Marshalls for the weekend. We're looking for Marshalls there. Anybody that's available, contact Stephen Tenney. Stephen has a good gang gathered up there, but as always, we don't refuse any help.
What's the distance of the hull? Like, where's the start? Is the starting point? Is the starting point where they start the stage of the rally? Is it further on up and then they just go up over the top of the hill? Is it?
Yeah, the starting point's basically just at the toilet, same place as I always start the rally, and it goes up around the hairpins and it stops at the top lay-by. You're looking at a mile, 1.3 kilometres, and it brings in the most iconic part of the stage, really, and there's plenty of views there.
And obviously the conditions will make it challenging, but what about the competitors? Obviously, well, they've been part of the club championship. There's a lot of the rally men. Now, this is not a counting round to the Hill Climb Championship this year, so the bulk of the entry is a lot of guys that rally here in the Northwest who are looking for points for their own Donegal Motor Club Championship. So who's in there? Who do we watch out for?
Aye, it's encouraging that the club men have come out in force. Really good numbers of Donegal club men this weekend. There's going to be some good battles there. There's going to be some good father and son battles. I suppose you're looking at, there's a few even overseas there. There's Ollie Benton and Steve Benton, father and son. Mac Walsh and Ben Walsh there, father and son. Mac's actually the main sponsor of the event through his MW Fire Solutions. And it's great that they come on board to sponsor the weekend. Paul Hughes and Oren Hughes from Northern Ireland. You have Gary McAvoy and Gary Jr. there. And the Ford Escort at the weekend. Yeah.
And the juniors are also getting around. It was announced a few weeks ago that you used to be adding a junior element to it. What's the uptake and that been like? Because this has got to be a very popular class right across the country since it was introduced by MI a number of years ago. And it's given really, really young drivers an opportunity to do a hull climb.
Yeah, as you know, we have some great junior 1000 competitors within the county. They're travelling all over the country and getting great results. At the minute there, we have five, and we have the likes of James McShea, Jack McDermott, who have won in various different events over the country. We have the Ray brothers from Clady there as well. And we have Sean Ryan, who's coming up from Cork as well, to compete in the junior class.
Yeah. But what about the boys at the head of the field? That's the juniors we mentioned. We mentioned the father and son. When we look at who's up there competing in Eskirts and their Darians, what can we expect, Brian?
Yeah, we have Kevin Galler there, and his Darian, who everybody knows is a fierce machine in the hill, and we've likes of Niall McGonigal coming in and a Rally 2 car on Sunday, which will also be an attraction. You have top escorts in, you have Damien Galler, you have Mike Walsh, you have the Bentons, you have Paul Hughes, you have some very good escort men there, so it definitely will be down to points of seconds over the 2 days, and weather will play a big part in it.
Yeah. And it's an enjoyable weekend for everybody competing, but it can be an enjoyable weekend for everybody who's marshalling or doing some sort of role. And obviously, you'll take any sort of help right up to the start of the event.
Yeah, exactly. It's an enjoyable, it's a family-oriented event. We have a bus there taking spectators up the hill between every run. We'll have Megabytes will be there with their food catering van. Gary McAvoy and McAvoy Motorsport will be there with their trade stalls selling merchandise, and there'll be tea and coffee vans there as well on the weekend. Yeah.
And the best advice to spectators is obviously to listen to the officials, but get there early, get to the hill early, and you could have a good day out.
Yeah, exactly. You can come down and watch your two runs or your three runs and go home again. There's plenty of parking at the bottom of the hill, but as always, stay safe and stand somewhere that's safe and be responsible.
Okay, listen, Brian, many thanks for dropping in here, and wish you and all your team the very best of luck this weekend with the hull clean.
Thanks a lot.
Brian Gibbons in conversation with our own Oisin Kelly. Well, staying with motorsport, Rally Ceredigion takes place this weekend, which is a round of the European and British Rally Championships. Donegal's Shane Byrne will compete along with John Armstrong in a Fiesta. Newly crowned Irish tarmac champion Callum Devine competes with Niall Burns on board the Skoda. Eamon Kelly and Rory Canada go in a Fiesta Rally 3, while Kyle McBride and Joseph Kelly are set for battle in the Stellantis Cup. Elsewhere, the Clare Stages Rally is on Sunday, which is round 7 of the National Rally Championship. In boxing, the World Amateur Championship started today in Liverpool. Donegal's Matthew McCall, who is making his first appearance at the Worlds, will open his account on Saturday. There are 41 boxers in the M70 kg category, and that is the second largest section in the competition. McCall has been given a bye into the last 32 and will meet Ronald Chavez of the Philippines this weekend. In cricket, it is the penultimate weekend of the Northwest Premier League. In Section 1, Leaders Brigade are up against Strabane. Second place Donnymena are at home to Coleraine. Brady play New Buildings and Ardmore take on Eglinton. In Section 2, champions Fox Lodge go to Ballyspellin. Bonsglen are at home to Killy Clooney and Glendermot welcome Burndennet. Finally, in rugby, it is the second weekend of the new Ulster Championship season. In Championship 1, Omagh go to Randallstown. In Section 2, Letterkenny will look to build on a good away win last week against Monaghan as they welcome Larne. And there is a Northwest Derby as City of Derry go to Limavady. In Section 3, Strabane are at home to Belfast High School former pupils. Well, that is just about it for this week's episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of this evening's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I will talk to you all again very soon.